Welcome to your custom deep dive. Today we are exploring how a country wires itself for the future.
Yeah, we're really unpacking the 2013 South Africa Connect broadband policy.
Right. And the mission here is to discover the strategies used to transform high-speed internet from, you know, an elite luxury into a universally accessible basic human right.
Exactly. And the core problem back in 2013, well, it wasn't the main network. Shockingly, 86% of South Africans already live within 10 kilometers of a fiber access node.
Wait, 86%? I mean, that's a huge majority.
Right.
If the cables were already that close, why was the national broadband penetration still so poor? I mean, there were like 1.2 million fixed ADSL lines just sitting completely unused.
Yeah, completely unused.
It's like having a massive water main right down your street, but absolutely no pipes connecting it to your kitchen sink.
That's a great way to put it.
So why was there such a massive disconnect?
Well, it really comes down to the last mile infrastructure gap. The main lines were there, but the cost to trench those final cables into individual neighborhoods and homes was just astronomically high.
So the telecom companies didn't want to pay for it.
Exactly. Which forced citizens to rely on expensive mobile data instead.
And that last mile failure, I mean, it wasn't just inconvenient. It was actively suffocating economic growth.
Definitely. Fixing it required moving away from this scattered, you know, piecemeal approach to a real master plan.
Right. Which brings us to the whole anchor tenant strategy.
Yeah, the policy had this digital development pillar that solved the investment risk problem by pooling public sector demand.
Okay, pooling demand. How so?
Well, by mandating that schools, clinics, and government buildings get connected, the state basically guarantees enough demand to make laying the cables profitable for the telecom companies.
Oh, I see. So instead of just handing out grants, the government acts like the anchor department store in a new mall. Like guaranteeing enough foot traffic so the telecom companies feel safe building the infrastructure.
That's exactly it. They guaranteed the data traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And they even mandated a dig once policy to coordinate civil works.
Wait, dig once? Meaning?
Meaning you avoid duplicating trenches. So if someone is digging up a road to lay cable, you coordinate so multiple providers can use that same trench.
Oh, wow. So you're not tearing up the same street three times.
Exactly. It saves so much capital.
But, you know, laying thousands of miles of physical cables is utterly pointless if the citizens at the other end don't know how to use them.
Or if they can't afford them.
Right.
True connection really requires affordability and skills. So the policy set a very strict target. By 2020, broadband should cost 2.5% or less of a person's average monthly income.
Wow, 2.5% is incredibly ambitious.
It is. It changes the internet from a luxury to a basic utility. And they also pushed heavily for e-literacy and local content creation.
Because they needed to ensure that the, what was it, 65 billion rand network investment actually generated its projected 400,000 new jobs.
Right. You need the digital skills to back up the cables.
Which really highlights why this matters to you. It shows that surviving the information age is 50% hardware and 50% human development. You can't just drop laptops in a town and expect an economic boom.
No, you really can't.
So the ultimate goal here was a seamless network delivering 100 megabits per second by 2030.
Yeah, that was the grand vision.
It's fascinating. And it leaves you with this really provocative thought. The government cleverly used schools and clinics as anchor tenants to incentivize corporate internet builds.
Mm-hmm.
What other massive societal hurdles, like, say, green energy or affordable housing, could be solved simply by treating the state as the ultimate guaranteed first customer?